To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And we'll open up the phone lines. It'll be your turn now. Questions with Douglas Hagman from Homeland Security U.S., who heads up the Northeast Intelligence Network right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie, along with our guest Douglas Hagman. We'll take your calls this hour for Douglas. Douglas, when you talk with Steve, anything concerning him as well?
Well, I think one large thing is the manipulation of the economy. We have had extensive conversations that concerning the silver and gold prices. The gas prices and what have you. It seems like there is a obvious manipulation by the powers that are, by the people in power, that are manipulating our economy to such an extent that we're digging ourselves deeper and deeper into an economic nightmare. Of course, that combined with the threat of an attack in a nuclear sense, the selling out of our intelligence to other countries. You know, we talk about a variety of subjects, but I think that everything combined is we're both concerned about all of this. Most recently, however, and I don't pretend to even understand the least bit about how our economic system works as well as he does, but he has pointed out a number of different times that, hey, you know, the silver prices really shouldn't be this. They're artificially high or low or whatever. And it shows that there is a unseen hand that is guiding this and playing this. So that's something that is a little bit off the wall, out of the box, that concerns both him and I.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Michael from Los Angeles.
Hey, Michael.
George, great
How
to see you there.
Thank you.
I wanted to point out on the new $5, $10, $20, $50, and $100 bills, if you fold them lengthwise on the backside where the White House is showing, and then back up again to make an inverted pyramid, on one side shows various stages of degradation of the Pentagon being hit, and on the other side you see the World Trade Center going down in various
stages. And the smoke, we've had it up on our website months ago, Michael, the smoke even looks like the smoke in some of the pictures we've seen.
Exactly, and there's an inverted flag under that pyramid, and God is inverted, and these are classic Masonic symbols, and even the creases form the square and the level symbol. And I mean, it's just a clear-cut example of very dark and sinister factions within the great government of the United States of America.
I think you're right. And as you know, I don't believe in coincidences. And what are the odds of those pictures on the back of the bills, if you fold them the right way, what are the odds of those looking almost exactly like some actual pictures during those events?
Absolutely. It's an in-your-face thing. I mean, I believe 9/11 was the pretext for World War III, as Pearl Harbor was the pretext for World War II, as was the assassination of Franz Ferdinand in World War I. And I believe these were structured based on very ancient traditions to create war, to create profits for certain globalist factions, and to keep people in the dark.
And you may be right. Douglas, your reaction to all that?
Well, we certainly keep an open mind with respect to that. You know, the events of 9/11 specifically, as the caller had mentioned, you know, being a catalyst for the Third World War, certainly there are so many unanswered questions, even post 9/11 commission, which was just more or less a whitewash. It wasn't really even an investigation. You know, we have to wonder too, What else is behind 9/11? Obviously, history has shown the events that the caller referred to back in World War One and World War Two. I think that history will probably show that there's been some complicity with respect to 9/11. Now, again, I am not indicting the good field people of our intelligence agencies, but what I am saying is we're open to the possibility that there was some obviously advanced knowledge, if not complicity with respect to that event.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Your turn. Hi there.
George, how you going?
I'm
how you doing?
Fine.
This is Kevin in Denver.
Sure thing, Kevin. Go ahead.
630 KL. Hey, I just listening to you guys, you're starting to confirm some suspicions I've had for a little while that our government has become an adversarial entity as regard to the American public and our freedoms and liberties. And to what extent do you think that goes? I mean, do you feel like the government is working behind the scenes, not only for profit and for greed, but ultimately for the destruction potentially of our population and of the global population?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we had talked about could this be some sort of a intentional insertion into prophecy from a Christian point of view, or even from a religious point of view, not necessarily Christian, but even Islamic, if you look at their eschatology, you know, in their historical perspective. Good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I think that we have to look at the entire picture as a whole and not just one or two events. But it's interesting you mentioned that, too, the reaction of the federal government and the different government agencies. You know, when you have, for example, when you have Jaina Davis, who has taken the 23 affidavits to the FBI, who refused to accept them because they did not want additional evidence, man, you've got a problem, a big problem in this country. And the same with any evidence relating to 9/11. When it's refused or not looked at, ignored, or when citizens who call in good faith saying, look, there's something not right here at this flight school, please investigate, and nothing happens, there's a huge problem. And that's why we are, we'd like to think we're kind of watchdogs and trying to expose this as well as interact with the appropriate federal authorities who are willing to take a look at this and to investigate this. So good points.
Kevin, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it. A lot of good researchers out there, Douglas, who are trying to monitor what's going on, frustrated by what's happening. Do they take the government position and run with it, or do they really start to look and probe and ask questions?
Well, I think that anyone who's on the government payroll, and there are independent agencies out there who say they're independent that are actually on government payroll. Obviously, we're not. Otherwise, we wouldn't be as broke as we are. But I think the bottom line here is I think that, to answer your question, I think that it depends on the organization taking a look at the information. I think that you will find the truth in the what they speak, what they write, how they write it. We don't take anything for granted. Obviously, Republican, Democrat, whoever, the politics doesn't matter. If it's true, it's true. If it's false, it's false. If it's a lie, it's a lie. The politics is not going to change.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast around the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Lee from Los Angeles.
Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My question is what's the current equivalent of the Cold War doctrine of MAD? In other words, when we had a threat from Cuba, the president went on and said that if any country in the Western Hemisphere was struck with a nuclear weapon, there would be a full retaliatory strike on the Soviet Union. And so everybody knew that if we were ever hit, it would be, you know, really bad for the other people.
I don't see the doctrine.
Yeah, but I don't see the doctrine here.
Who do you attack? Who do we retaliate against?
Well, who is the enemy? Is it not the Islamic extremists?
Yeah, but where are they? They're all over the place.
That's my point.
Well, that's a good question. I think, and I could be mistaken about this, but the last I knew about this, the last administration had taken away our response capabilities. In other words,
we take the first hit.
Right. That's correct. And in the case of a nuclear explosion going off, obviously, that's going to leave a signature, its origin. If it comes back as a Russian in origin, that doesn't necessarily mean that Russia detonated that nuclear device on U.S. soil. It does mean that it got here perhaps from an Islamic fundamentalist. And you're absolutely correct. Who do you go after? Is it Pakistan? Is it Saudi Arabia? Who's up to their necks in funding and providing operational support to terrorism? Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, it just seems ridiculous to me. We're sitting around, oh, my God, we might get hit with a nuclear weapon, and we have absolutely no response scheduled.
Well, who do you go after? You can't just, you know, the Islamic population comprises one-fifth of the world's population. You know, you can't.
And not all of them are crazed fundamentalists.
Correct.
I know, but do you think our diplomats are secretly telling governments, Islamic governments, look, you know, this is going to cause a big problem for you if we get struck with a nuclear weapon? It's obvious who did it.
Oh, I absolutely believe, and from what I've been hearing from people within the Pentagon.
And this Wahhabism is promoting all this, so maybe you should get a grip on it or something?
Well, I agree with what you said. The Wahhabi doctrine, the fundamentalist doctrine, is promoting this.
The biggest problem, quite frankly, are with these severe fundamentalists who are in Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. And I do believe, and George, I think you had mentioned this on the show before, you had a gentleman on the show who said, I believe, that there was some backdoor dealing, that if a nuclear device went off in this country, expect an equivalent retaliation in Mecca and Medina. I'm not sure if that was your show or whatever, but the bottom line is I do believe that our president and our administration has given certain people, certain government leaders, and even theocracy leaders, shall we say, an ultimatum.
Where are these insurgents getting, the Iraqi insurgents, where are they getting their weapons?
Well, I think from a number of different places. I mean, I think a large supplier is from Russia. I think they're even using American weapons that were left over in the Afghan war. I think that I know for a fact that there are Chinese-made weapons, but the largest percentage of all the photographic documentation we've seen on Islamic websites that have been run by our military expert, they have been Russian in origin.
How about that? And aren't most of the insurgents part of the old Saddam Hussein Republican Guard that we couldn't find when we went into Iraq? They merely put their took their uniforms off, put their weapons down, and they took off. Now they're the ones coming back.
Exactly. And this goes back, George, this goes back to 1991 during the first Gulf War, when we had no capability of sorting the good guys from the bad guys, and we gave a whole lot of people
sure.
a wholesale pass into this country.
We're fighting soldiers who aren't wearing uniforms.
Correct. And it's the hardest war to fight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes on for years and years and years. Do you think we should pull out of Iraq?
I think we're going to have to pull out of Iraq. The bottom line on this is we cannot sustain an occupation force there. I think that in as long as we're in Iraq, by the way, and when we're seeing this consistently on these message boards and on terrorist communications, within terrorist communications, that as long as we're there, there will be attacks and upscale in attacks, both there and domestically. So I think that we're going to have to do something. Some sort of proactive measures are going to have to be taken that are going to appease. Appease is the wrong word, but they're going to have to be acceptable to us, and also to make sure that the terrorism, as we know it now, does not continue.
If you believe that there are some people, a higher group, that was culpable and capable of 9/11, and maybe they contracted out with bin Laden's organization to do this, then this group is capable of doing anything.
Oh, absolutely. I think the Russians, as a matter of fact, I think there's ample evidence to show that the Russians had their hand in a lot of this. especially with the intelligence briefings that were made public subsequent to 9/11 and about the same time as the 9/11 Commission. And I have to note that a lot of these, too, in the Saudi Arabians, by the way, and a lot of this still remains classified information. So that should speak volumes there, I think.
How about the reports that we got bin Laden's family and other Saudis out of the country when air was supposed to have been grounded?
You know, that bothers us a great deal collectively.
True story.
Yeah, absolutely true. But why is that? You know, I don't know. I mean, aside from the obvious, why is that? I don't know. The intelligence value of those individuals certainly could have been a bonanza for our intelligence community. Who gave that order for them to leave the country? I don't think President Bush has admitted publicly that he allowed this to happen, or anyone in the administration. I would like to know who signed off on that particular endeavor.
Well, and I still want to know who made all this money short-selling some of those stocks.
You know, that's one thing I want to ask. To my knowledge, I don't think anyone has come forward to claim the large amounts of money that were that are still sitting, and I'm not sure. I thought I heard Alex Jones talk about this at length, but have they, George? Has anyone come forward to pick up the money, so to speak?
I have not heard that the money was never transferred to the parties responsible for making those buys or short selling.
Okay.
I think it was. And I think the SEC knows what companies, what investment banks handle it for what clients. And all they have to do is go subpoena those people and say, we want to know who those clients were.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yep. And maybe they already know who those clients are and they're a little afraid to release the report.
Interesting.
Yep. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, George. Good morning, Doug. I believe you're both great Americans. My second question was about follow the money, and you've just brought that up. My first question is, what do you know about Pakistan and Musharraf? I'm from Illinois. I'm Beverly from Illinois. And I live in DuPage County, and we have Fermilab very, very close, within 3 or 4 miles. But Musharraf's brother lives in DuPage County in Oak Brook.
Musharraf himself owns some townhouses in Boston that his son manages for him.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But I want to tell you about a real weird thing that happened. A lot of weird things have happened out here, and I've called them in. But I was listening to the morning news, and they were giving traffic reports. And they kept saying there is a convoy, like, you know, a limousine and several other cars that had slowed traffic down to a crawl on the Northwest Tollway. And every 10 minutes, they were announcing this big traffic tie-up, and they were headed west, away from O'Hare Field. And then all of a sudden, they reported that it turns out it was Musharraf and his entourage, but they were not headed toward his brother's house. They were headed farther northwest. And then the next report, they said was that that traffic problem has been cleared up.
I didn't hear any reports of Musharraf being in this country. Was he here? If he did, I missed it.
I've heard nothing to that effect, and we have one of our analysts you can believe this or not, has been in contact with President Musharraf by way of a third party. This analyst has lived in the Middle East for some time and has recently returned to America. So, and knows the Musharraf family. That's not to say this analyst likes the Musharraf family or has any dealings with the Musharraf family. That's just simply to state that there's a level of knowledge there that if that did happen, and I'm not saying it didn't, certainly I would think that we would know about it. But then again, stranger things have happened, so it's certainly entirely possible.
I know some Pakistanis who live in St. Louis, doctors, restaurateurs, and they are not, and they're American citizens, they are not too happy about Musharraf. They don't like him at all.
Yeah, that's what we That's very good analysis.
And that was only with a handful of people, so you got to assume, well, those people know what they're talking about. We'll be back with final questions for Douglas Hagman, and then I'll have open lines next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505. With George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of free electronic books have been given out by the Filament Book Club. People are downloading books right over their computer or over the telephone, and they love it. And some Coast to Coast guests have put their books right on the Filament Book Club list, and it gets right into the e-books, and the e-books are fun to have. You can take them anywhere, read a book right inside the e-book. Call 1-888-95-E-BOOK to get the free book when you become a member of the Filament Book Club. 1-888-95-E-BOOK, or go to this website, Filament, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, bookclub.com. Okay, welcome back. Final segment with Douglas Hagman, and your phone calls will go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
This is Stan from Chicago.
Hi, Stan. Welcome.
Hey, sounds like Eugenics 400.
It does, a little bit, doesn't it?
Just a wee bit. Given terms like chemtrails, American culture type, Gulf War syndrome / chronic fatigue popping up, all involving issues on a grand scale, Douglas, do you believe that there may be some rogue, eyes wide shut type elements in key positions, ready to do their dastardly deeds when the time is right?
I do. How else can you explain it? I think that. Again, I personally have a lot of friends who are within the intelligence agencies that are, you know, they're field agents, and law enforcement, whatever, that, that are very patriotic Americans. But I also believe when we sit down and have coffee together, you know, inevitably a conversation arises. Well, gee whiz, you know, I filed this complaint, or I had taken this reported this incident, and it's not really being handled, or it's being pushed aside, or you know, I'm told not to worry about it, and that's on a certain level. So I do believe that the decades-long, well, for the last several decades, I think that there's been an infiltration into our intelligence agencies, into our law enforcement, into key positions that, you know, again, our enemy is a very patient enemy, and I think that our warfare is very asymmetrical. So anything that our enemy, however you want to define our enemy at this point, can use against us, including our own assets, they will do so. And how else can you explain the odd series of events that really can't be explained any other way other than the fact that there are insiders that are leading us astray?
Do you think this is a prelude, Douglas, to an attack on Iran?
Well, I think it's a matter of time that we're going to have to attack Iran. Is it a prelude to it? I suspect that the events that we're seeing now, the military movements, which you know, we never publish any military movements for the safety of our personnel, but I think that there are indications that something is gearing up for the Middle East. We suspect it to be Iran. It could be Syria, given their alliance with Iran. I don't know.
Syria seems to be backing down on a lot of things. Am I right there?
I think publicly they are, but I think privately, you know, it's like the duck on the water. I think privately there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes under the water that are going on. I think Libya, too, you know, publicly they've backed down, but I think that there's a lot of stuff going on with Libya.
You mean Gaddafi really isn't as silent as he says?
Well, no, I think Gaddafi still has a pretty big chip on his shoulder with America. So I think that he's a catalyst in a lot of this as well. I think history, again, will show, hopefully we'll live to see the truth behind a lot of this information that we're not seeing now. So I think that there's a lot of strange bedfellows and alliances that we thought were broken that have never been broken and are still pretty solid.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Douglas. Great show. Before I ask my question to your guest, I'd like to preface by saying that, George, I'm kind of happy to see that you are now seeing some things in the light of facts that have been sitting there for a long time, and probably in a very bright light, but maybe the light was blinding for you as it is still for other people.
I just tread very softly before I run.
That's a very prudent way to tread. Okay, now to my questions, actually, to your guest. One of them is very short. I was kind of surprised that he wasn't aware of the camps. I guess that's one area he doesn't really want to talk about. But my understanding is that they're also Al-Qaeda, and then the other terrorist groups, which I can't think of now, which is actually more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. And they have several terrorist camps still open and alive in this country. And the next question will be that he doesn't seem to be aware that a lot of the last few Bin Laden tapes have been analyzed by secret intelligence overseas and have been ruled to be complete fakes, not even close. I'd like to know what he has to say about that.
Okay.
I apologize for this. The first part of the series of questions I could barely understand. Now, with respect to the Bin Laden tapes, the most recent tapes, we have noticed anomalies with respect to those tapes, the videotapes. I understand that they've been authenticated by the Central Intelligence Agency, but we have made public comments to the effect that there are things that are not correct with those videotapes, and even to the extent that his second in command, al-Zawahiri, has made videotapes presented through the Al-Saha production company, we feel that there are certain elements of those tapes that are not right either. You take a man like al-Zawahiri, for instance, or even Bin Laden, who are reportedly on the run. You know, Randy Taylor is great for saying this. I can't even get my shirts that white, referring to to the white shirts, you know, worn by Zawahiri and company. So, you know, we recognize the anomalies. Can we really do more than note them and to say that they're there? No, because we're not sure ourselves, you know, why they are there. Is this a clandestine government project, you know, a CIA PSYOP? It could very well be, but we're not prepared to say that because, really, frankly, we don't know, and I'm not sure anyone else does either. And certainly, I don't think I've dodged any question, and I don't recall what the first part. I didn't really catch.
Yeah,
the first
could
part
you emphasize your first part because I couldn't hear you.
The very first part had to do with you didn't seem to be too aware about the camps that are described by Alex Jones, for example, that would be possibly to put U.S. population in. And the second part was, what about Al-Qaeda training camps that have been...
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. The Al-Qaeda training camps, I have personally conducted surveillance. I have in my possession videotape surveillance of Al-Qaeda training camps in western New York. That I have still photographs from that I have placed, I believe they were on my website, they were in circulation, that show training of young men being taught how to scale walls. I would guarantee you that there are Al-Qaeda training camps, or when I say Al-Qaeda, I mean Islamic terrorist training camps in this country without a doubt. Now, with respect to the first part of the question, again, if there are training or if there are internment type camps, I have not personally
seen. And that's not your expertise.
That's
Alex
right.
Jones does a good job with that.
Right.
Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Douglas. Nice to talk to you.
You too, sir.
Talk to me real quick about I work in Manhattan, and I'm very concerned. Just go back to the dirty bomb issue you guys were talking about a little bit earlier. Is there any research going on as to detection of, like, how far do you have to be away? Remember years ago, Geiger counters that could pick up uranium?
Yes.
Is there any type of research going on as far as, like, how far away? Like, can you drive through a city street to pick up uranium in Manhattan? How far would you have to be away? Is there kind of research going on to try to find these dirty bombs anywhere?
The answer, yes, there's absolutely, there are radiological detectors out there. As a matter of fact, in your city, I'm going to say about 13 months ago, maybe a little bit less than that. One of your refuse trucks, not too far from the Astoria area of New York, had apparently had a radiological detector on board that refuse truck. It pegged red, or it pegged out, and the refuse from an apartment was found to have contained elements of a radiological dirty-type bomb. I'm not talking about the complete components. I'm talking about the residue from this. So there are detectors out there in terms of where you have to be. There's a lot of open-source documentation, unless you're pretty close and you make it a point to like, really suck in the vapors from this. You really don't have a lot to worry about. It's more of a common sense issue, and that's something we're going to be addressing too on our website to assist people into, again, knowledge replaces fear, and I think that the psychological effect of that is we should address that, and to know the fact that a nuclear event or a dirty bomb event is indeed survivable.
And this is what they say, Douglas. By the way, at worst case calculation. For an explosion of a radiological bomb in downtown Manhattan during noontime, estimates more than 2,000 deaths and many thousands more suffering from radiation poisoning. This, however, is only speculation, as there are about as many opinions on the matter as there are experts. It is safe to say the level of exposure would depend on many factors, such as wind speed, distance from the blast, and the amount of radioactive material used in the bomb. So that's what they say about a radiological bomb.
Correct. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to be anywhere near when one went off, but it's not going to be the end of the city as we know it.
It is not like a nuclear bomb.
That's correct.
Next up, let's go to our international line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello? Going once. Going twice. I only go twice. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dean from Atlanta.
Hi, Dean. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I had a question. I don't know if you guys have seen the report, the tape that was made by a former L.A. cop who was also a CIA operative called Truth and Lies of 911, and he talked about, I forget his name, it's Mike, I forget his last name, but he made a very, very cogent connection between the events of 911 and the drug wars, specifically the poppy fields in Afghanistan, and how during the Taliban rule, the poppy, the heroin production had shrunk down to, you know, very minimal levels, and how the heroin production was needed to keep our economy alive, really. And I was wondering if your guest knew any connection, what he thought about the connections between the drug wars and the events of 9-1-1, and if he's had any kind of discussions with that with his colleagues.
Well, Douglas?
Well, I can tell you this. The caller's right on the money with respect to the poppy fields. I do know that during our involvement in Afghanistan, we were told, and I've talked to military people on this, that they were not to destroy the poppy fields. Now, I'm not familiar with the tape or the individual that the caller refers to, but with respect to the poppy fields themselves, they were off limits in terms of being destroyed. And you know, one has to wonder why that is, especially if we're fighting a drug war in the poppy fields of Afghanistan, or one of the biggest producers of contributors for the drugs that come into the United States. I don't know the answer to that. It's something that does bother me, and I think that it should bother everyone. And there's a definite connection between drugs and the financing of terrorism, as there is, of course, cigarette smuggling and the financing of terrorism as well. So, I mean, terrorism costs money, and so I think that there's a lot of different areas to explore, that being one of them, and the caller's right on the money with the poppy fields.
Well, Douglas, time for a few more calls, and I want to thank you for being on the program with this latest information and, of course, reacting to the possibility of another nuclear device in the hands of more insurgencies. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. It's Tony from Ventura.
Hi,
how are you?
Tony, fine. Thanks.
Doug, you used a term earlier. I think it was, Doug, the insertion into prophecy.
Yes.
And I think that there is a tremendous element in this country, and I've heard them referred to as the Armageddon Lobby, who are using, and it's partly related to the upswing in sort of a, I use the term Christo-fascistic movement in the country, to really blithely disregard the effects of U.S. policy and U.S. decision-making in connection with what they perceive to be the coming end of the world. And this is, for those of us who don't necessarily believe in literal interpretation of the Bible and its immediate application to today's events, it's a disturbing trend to watch. It's even more disturbing to watch more and more people in public life start to espouse these views that, frankly, are fairly irrational and have been held by just about every generation since the death of Christ, that the end times are near. And when it comes to the level of our policy towards Israel in connection with the Temple Mount, or why certain elements in our society are highly supportive of the most right-wing elements in Israel, or putting Israel aside, just general anxieties and or lack thereof about a nuclear war starting in or finishing in the Middle East. That, to me, is a big concern. I'm a rock climber, for example, and I know if you're climbing and you keep focusing on a rock that you're going to fall and break your neck on, you're going to fall and break your neck on that rock. And I see a lot of that happening in our society now. So that we can, I think that we can start looking, you know, let's look for the conspiracy here and let's look for the training camp there. This is a societal attitude that is almost certain to break us if we don't get a little reason in our governance.
Interesting evaluation, and we've asked the same question. are the people in power, and I do remember, I think I referenced this earlier, there was a speech made by George Bush right after or around the events of 9/11 where he had indicated if something to the effect that if he needed to be the person to guide America into Armageddon or to be that leader, that he was capable of doing so. Which begs now you're not going to find that, by the way, on searching Google or we've been looking for that, the text of that speech, for some time. We know it exists, but we just cannot find it. Which brings up the interesting point. Are our leaders and other leaders, are they strategizing for prophecy, the sake of prophecy, or is this happening as described by prophecy? In other words, are they attempting to bring on what is depicted in the Bible, or are they reacting to it, or is it not coincidental, but is it an unintended result? It's something that we look at, we step back, and we wonder, hey, exactly what is going on here? And to that extent, we really don't have any type of definitive answer for you. But we recognize that it exists.
Douglas, website homelandsecurityus.com. Anything for people to peruse when they go to that site?
Well, I think Laura Mansfield had gone into a mosque undercover. Interesting article. Certainly there's a lot of information in there about recent investigations we've done. A lot more coming this weekend, George, in response to this program. And I think that we're growing by leaps and bounds, and I hope to be with you again.
You sure will. Say hi to my friend Tom Bowerly at WBEN in Buffalo, by the way.
I will do so,
okay,
sir.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate you being on the program. I'll be back in a moment. We've got open lines for you, whatever on your mind. I'm George Norrie, and Coast to Coast continues.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.